Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you had a great week. I know it was a long one here in the United States, 5 days. It's been a bit since we've had to do that, but hey, we made it to the weekend. Ricky and I are getting ready to talk about so much Walt Disney World news and rumors and more coming up on today's show. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Of course, they are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best based on guest feedback and the amount of trips they book each year. But let me just tell you one thing that you might want to think about here as we are quickly approaching the holidays. How about putting a Disney vacation under the tree? Think about that. You can get this done right away. You can wrap up a little trinket or something. The family opens it and everybody gets to have this experience that they'll remember for the rest of their life. It's going to be a memory in your family forever. I do this for guests each and every year. It's fun to see the reveal videos and so much more. So, hey, you know, maybe you're heading down in 2019. You want to put a trip to Walt Disney World under the tree, maybe a Disney cruise. It's something the family will never forget. Just contact me over at the Magic for Less Travel. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And you and I are going to be working together to make some magic, just like the big man this holiday season. Just let him know you heard about him here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check him out today over at themagicforless.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping this holiday season, we sure appreciate it. When you click through our link, you'll still get your Prime benefits. You'll pay the exact same price. Amazon just pays us a little commission with each purchase, and it really does help support the show. So again, thanks to everybody who continues to use our link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1414 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you and congratulations on surviving what is one of the longest work weeks of the year. I know it's like, what, we had a three-day week last year or four-day week last weekend and now we got to do five. It's brutal. I know. I can't even talk because it's been such an intense week. But here we are, we're moving into December, one of the greatest times of the year, so let's talk some Disney. And we got plenty of Disney to talk about, and you get a Mike and Ricky in the morning show, which we always love, giving on a Friday. It's the Friday Morning Zoo, so we're going to talk about all the Disney fun stuff.
It's definitely a zoo.
Disney's giving us some fun stuff, and we're going to talk about it. So, joining me to have some fun Disney talk, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky? Happy Friday.
Oh my goodness, the longest week ever. Oh, it's so awful.
For real.
But you know what? Friday's here, and I'm going to have a good time because I actually get to see Wreck-It Ralph too this weekend, so I'm excited to see Ralph breaks the internet. Yay.
I'm excited to see that one too. You know, I don't see movies, but I love some Wreck-It Ralph. That was one of my favorites to show my class.
I know it came out last week. I understand, but with the family here, and I wanted to see Crimes of Grindelwald first because that came out first. So I saw that last weekend, and now this weekend I'm going to see Wreck-It Ralph. And I'm very excited about it. I was excited about both. So,
you know, here's the thing. I was excited to see Wreck-It Ralph. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to. But you know what really, really got me excited to see what I saw on the internet when I saw like a promo? It was the Rick Astley getting Rickrolled promo.
I was like, dude,
they wrote this movie for me. I love Rickrolling people.
Oh, I love that. That was so fantastic. They did a really good job with that. That was really creative. So fantastic job, Disney, on that one.
Yes,
that was really good.
That was it's like, oh, they're speaking to my soul.
They were.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about all the Disney news. Well, probably not all the Disney news because it was so much. We're going to talk about some of the Disney news, stuff that was announced down at Destination D, other things. You know, Ricky, you cover this for the Mouse for Less. So you're always keeping up on what's happening, the new stuff. So I'm just going to let you kind of, you know, let's hit maybe five or six, seven announcements and just give our thoughts on what we think. So what?
Seriously, all the new, well, okay. So many announcements. So many.
So go ahead. And here, let me, actually, I said that, but let me jump in first with Illuminations because that's my baby.
All right.
And I want to jump in about that. You know what, though? So And if I get stuff wrong, because I'm not reading off of anything, I'm just going off of what I've read and you know, listen to other shows and stuff. So Illumination's going away. We're getting those two shows, which is kind of weird, because we're getting like an interim show and then the big show in 2020. In 2019, though, we're getting the Epcot Forever, which is going to, from what I hear, kind of celebrate the music of Epcot over the years. Am I wrong, but am I supposed to be more excited about the permanent thing? But I'm more excited about this. I'm like, yes. But what? Tell us about the news and what this is going to be.
Yeah, I think all of us Disney nerds, when we heard about Epcot Forever and that it's going to feature classic Epcot tunes, will offer fireworks, music, lighting, lasers, and special effect kites, we were all like, all right, I'm here for this. I can make some time to make sure I see this before it goes away. But yeah, the new show, that new interim show, like you said, will be a limited time offering that will debut in the fall of 2019. And I'm with you. That sounds awesome. I can't wait to see that show. I think it's going to be fantastic. And then, of course, we have the new show, which will debut in 2020. No time frame exactly on when that will be. But the new show is obviously the actual replacement for Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. And that one is going to celebrate how Disney music inspires people around the world and will feature massive floating set pieces, custom-built LED panels, choreographed moving fountains, lights, pyrotechnics, and lasers, because you got to have lasers. So, again, it sounds very interesting. It's going to have what everybody feared the most, which was Disney music, you know, heavy Disney influence, which is obviously what people who are Epcot purists are very much against, and why most people are very much excited about Epcot Forever. So, you know, I get it. You know, Disney nowadays has to throw in IP everywhere, can't have anything that doesn't have IP. So I understand why they're having IP as the replacement for Illuminations, but that doesn't mean that I'm not sad about it. But I am curious to see how they will incorporate the Disney music inspiring people from around the world. That is interesting to me, although I'm sure it'll just be like World of Color 2.0. So.
Well, I mean, here's how I see this news, okay? And this is just my take on it. And I love, you know, being able to do this on a Friday because, again, drop by the Facebook group or let me know on Twitter, at BRGuestMike, what your thoughts are on these things. Because here's what I'm thinking with this Illuminations thing, with the two shows coming up. Of course, Disney wants to... you know, market and have a target of the broadest audience possible, which is what the permanent show is going to be because, you know, people want to hear music from Moana. It's very beautiful.
Oh,
and I mean, the kids are going to connect with it. The parents are still going to like it. Even if you're like, I don't want that stuff. You're going to like it when it's in the show, you know, and so forth. So I think that's kind of what they have to do. But I mean, you know, in the end, I'm glad that they're kind of giving something to us. You know, they're not giving us permanent stuff, but they're giving the Disney nerds a little of something here for just a brief period. I think we're excited about that. So I think it's kind of like it's as much of a win-win as we're going to get. And what I think this is too, with what the permanent show sounds like it's going to be, they learned a lot from Rivers of Light with like the floating LCD screens and that stuff. But it's going to be kind of here's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think it's going to be kind of the best of Rivers of Light, but add some pyrotechnics, which I said, that's why Rivers of Light's boring because it doesn't have any fireworks, which I understand why they don't. But it's also going to have, you know, kind of the best of World of Color. You know, with kind of the music, and I think it's really going to be kind of like an all-star. I mean, this is what Disney does. You know, they take the shows and they build on them, and they combine the best elements from this show, that show, this show. I think it's going to be killer when it comes out. But I mean, I think it's, you know, if you don't like the IP, that ship has sailed. You're going to get it all the time now. So.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
All IP all the time. Yeah, that's how things are nowadays. So if you don't like IP, you may not want to like Disney anymore. But I'm just saying, like, you know, that's definitely where they're going. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I am sad, obviously, a little bit that they're, you know, going that route, but knew that that was absolutely the route that they were going to go in. So it's not like it was a surprise that they were going to add Disney IP to the new fireworks show at Epcot. Like, it's not a surprise at all.
What are the chances we get the computer song Eric sang for the interim show? It's got a great big memory like an elephant.
Yes. That would be fantastic. Nobody would know what it is except
that'd
Disney
be so
nerds.
Weird. I love that song, The Astute Computer. Boy, that'd be
you
so
know what? Probably some Disney nerds wouldn't know what that was either. So let's just be honest.
You'd be able to pick them out because we sing along. It's got the great big memory like an elephant. God, think about that, man. Right. Epcot was started. I know we got to get onto the other source. But I mean, like, computers weren't even a thing. And like, everybody's got this supercomputer in their hand. And they're probably looking down at it and not watching the show nowadays. Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It is bizarre, isn't it?
All right, next story.
All right, next story. We're going to stay at Epcot, and you know, this is just a brief little thing, but there are some changes that are happening at the France Pavilion. Obviously, we know the first one is going to be the upcoming Ratatouille experience. The attraction is going to be called Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Ta-da! So we have a name. And then the second thing that's kind of interesting, the France Pavilion, is they're going to have a brand new Beauty and the Beast sing-along that's created by Don Hahn, who's the producer of both the animated and the live-action versions of Beauty and the Beast. And this new show is going to be in addition to Impressions de France, which tells me that the show is going to take place in the same theater as Impressions de France, and they're probably going to, you know, intersperse them. That also may mean that Impressions de France may... this is speculation, but they may be phasing it out.
That's, no, don't again, say that. Well, you're going to start a riot. I love that. In Scotland, everybody loves Impressions de France.
But part of me wonders if the reason to do this is to see how popular Impressions de France is versus the new sing-along show. And I guess that my guess would be if the sing-along show ended up being way more popular, they would get rid of Impressions. Again, this is speculation, so don't take that. You know, if you really love Impressions de France, make sure you go see it. But for now, we know that Impressions de France is staying. So that's good news for Impressions de France fans.
And, you know, I like this. I know a lot of people poo-pooed this one again because of the IP stuff, bringing Beauty and the Beast sing-along into France. Here's what I say with that. I mean, France is going to be a destination. Ratatouille, you're going to have something else in the theater with Impressions de France. And the thing is, like, Beauty and the Beast has awesome music. It does. I mean, it's that's why it won so many awards back in the day.
Our podcast is named after a song from Beauty and the Beast. Maybe. A little biased.
Maybe. But I think it just works in other ways, too. But, I mean, the thing is that it's got just great music that a lot of people know. It works even, well, maybe not better than Frozen as a sing-along because everybody knew Let It Go and most people knew the other songs. But it's, you know, it's akin to that because people know a lot of the words. And the thing is, I think it'll fit really well. It'll be fun for the younger generation. It'll be fun for the older generation. It's going to be, as long as they keep Impressions de France and, like, alternate them, I think this is great. France is going to be the place to be. This pavilion is going to be rocking here soon.
Agreed. You know, it's already busy, you know, with everything going on, and it's going to be even more so. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we also had news about our good buddy Martin Short may be replaced for O Canada. So they're going to build it, put in a new O Canada film as well. So that's kind of an interesting, like, little blurb that came out from all of it. I will miss, you know, plastic surgery Martin Short.
And we're also getting a new film, and I mean, we've been saying this for like 2 years now, the new film in China, which apparently is going to be stainless screens, and it's going to be really updated in the theater, which, you know, I'm excited about, but I mean, and I shouldn't be sad that the old China film's going to go, but like, something about that film is, it's kind of like Impressions of France. It's like, it's comforting. It's old Epcot. It's a place where you can step into the past, which I know is what Epcot's not supposed to be about. Man, I love that film. And I love that theater as it is. But I mean, it's going to be nice, I'm sure.
It will be. It'll be nice to have some updated films. I mean, they updated, but I think the last time the China film was, I mean, please don't quote me on this because I don't remember 100%, but it was in the mid 80s. Like 2000s. Yeah. Somewhere around there. And then, the Canada film was replaced around that same time too. So I know that they were both replaced in the mid 2000s or something like that. So they've been around for a while. They've been around long enough. I think it's time for a new replacement for both of those shows.
I think the China film's actually from the mid to early 80s, and the updated Canada film, well, the updated, it's a decade old now. I think it was around 2007 or so, 8 maybe.
Yeah, I know it was around when American Idol was big because the person who sings the song is from the Canadian version of American Idol. So, and I know it was when I was a Disney fan, so I want to say it's somewhere between that 2006 to 2008 time frame, and I'm not entirely sure when it 100% was, but I swore they put in updated the China film while I've been a Disney like fanatic too, and I didn't start being a Disney fanatic until 2003. So
I don't think so.
I guess I could be wrong.
I think that's from the 80s. I'm pretty sure. We'll have to do some research. I think so.
I swore it had been updated, but
it looks like it's 80s.
I know Impressions de France is the original. Like that's been there from the beginning.
Yep.
I'm surprised they're not updating that too, to be honest.
How often do you go to the films in Epcot?
Well, because we were going to Canada, Brian made me go to the Canada film a lot. over the past year, or 6 months, I guess I should say. But the other films, I'm not going to lie, I don't go to them hardly ever.
I do on my long summer vacations when it's hot and it's good to get out. But like when I'm going down for marathon weekend, I'm going solo this time. You know what? I'm more likely to go this time because I'm solo. Those are great things to do on a solo trip, to go into all the films. And also, you know, even though you can only sit in Impressions de France, you can't sit in Canada or China.
Right.
But I mean, it's a slow moving thing. You're kind of resting and, you know, you're trying to save yourself. So I may go this in January, but typically I don't go on race weekends.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen the films in France or China in a while. It's been a while.
All right, Eric's going to look it up. He's a librarian. Go ahead, next.
Moving on to another park. We are moving to Disney's Hollywood Studios, where I think there's something big happening next year. Something called Star Wars.
I thought you were going to talk about Mickey's Runaway Railway. That's the big thing. Come on.
We'll get to that. But yeah, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We have officially the two names of the attractions. And as a Star Wars fan, Mike, I'm kind of curious as to what you think of them. So,
I love Smuggler's Run. That is a perfect name for the Millennium Falcon.
I was
going
to start with that
Falcon.
One. So, yes. The one with the Millennium Falcon is called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. And it's going to put guests behind the controls of the most famous ship in the galaxy in one of three unique flight crew roles. So it's going to kind of be like, you know, it feels like it's going to be a little bit like Mission Space, except for it has more
consequences.
Exactly. What you do is going to have more consequences, which is good because I kind of, you know, hate the okay, I'm pushing buttons and it's not doing anything with.
Is a huge debate I've heard on other podcasts that. I mean, like, you're going to wait forever to get on this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, on Jim and Len's podcast. Like, I mean, I want there to be consequences. Like, if you screw up, I want there to be a consequence because Han told you, you know, let's jump to light speed. You can't, that's time sensitive, man. You can't do that 5 seconds late. You're going to hit an asteroid. But the thing is, like, if Mallory's screwing around and not paying attention and she jumps to light speed late and the ride ends, I'm going to, like, want to kill her. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, I would think that they would do it so that maybe your ride didn't end, but you just had a poorer experience.
I don't want a poor experience after waiting 4 hours. I will murder. Don't fly this ride with me because we're all going to focus. We are going to focus.
I'm going to screw it up so good for you, Mike Rollman, on your first ride when we ride together. It's going to be fantastic. I just want to see you crash and burn in the Millennium Falcon.
Too realistic.
I'm so mean to you. Okay. All right. So the next attraction is going to put guests in the middle of an epic battle between the Resistance and the First Order, and it is called Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. So what do you think of that? Now, apparently, the video that we saw from this attraction is actually on-ride video from this attraction. So that it's not like computer generated. I don't know if I believe that necessarily, but from what I understand, that's actual on-ride video. So that would be really cool if that's the case.
I think it's going to be fun. That name doesn't get me as much as like Smuggler's Run for the Millennium. I'm more attached to the Millennium Falcon. You know, the Rise of the Resistance is kind of just explaining what the ride is going to be about and like what point of view you're taking. I think it's a good, you know, you're an idea of like what side am I on when I'm experiencing this attraction. I think it's going to be fun. You know, I mean, for anybody that's grown up in my generation, you know, I'm 22 and, you know, anybody that's grown up in my generation, you grew up,
just turned 22.
Exactly. I'm 22 in 3 days. But you know, anybody that's grown up in my generation, like you grew up Star Wars and now you're finally for the first time, this is close. You're going to get to being on a planet that's in the Star Wars universe and these experiences. I cannot wait. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. They can't do anything wrong in my book because it's taken me places that I've always wanted to go and I've gone there only in my mind.
All right. Well, that's good for you. I know it's like me going to Harry Potter. It's like going to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So like I get the excitement and the you know, attachment that people have to it. But you know, for me, it's not. It would be like you visiting Wizarding World of Harry Potter. That's me visiting Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. It's the same kind of excitement level for the two of us. I'll enjoy what I see, but it won't be like, oh my gosh, did you see that? So yeah. You know, like that was in the movie. You know, that's me and Wizarding
World.
That
is. I mean, it's a good comparison. And I got to say, sorry, I apologize to you. You were right. The Reflection of China, May 22nd, 2003. Eric says he looked it up.
What's up? I knew I remember. remembered it being in the beginning stages of my Disney fandom. And I got into Disney in 2003. So 2002, 2003. So that was about right. See, Canada
Canada was September 1st. Okay, so real quick.
SMRT.
2007. What about the Star Wars Hotel? Now, they gave us a few details on that. Here's my take on this. Like, winning the lottery is going to be easier than getting a room and to experience this, I think. But man, if you get in that hotel, you are living the Star Wars dream to the 10th level. Like, that is going to be so incredibly sweet. But it's going to be like, it's almost like the Cinderella suite, I think. Just slightly less hard to get.
I don't know. So, as much as I would love to experience the Star Wars Hotel, because I think it sounds very intriguing. And, you know, the premise of the fact that you get to live out these adventures in a fully immersive multi-day Star Wars adventure aboard a luxury starship definitely sounds intriguing. But for someone like me, again, who's not a big Star Wars fan and who knows that this is going to be, it's going to be like the cruise experience. So you're going to have to spend 2-3 days doing this adventure as part of the staying in the hotel. For someone like me, while I want to experience it and see what it's like, it's also 2-3 days of, not going to the other parks, not doing anything else. That's, you just live that Star Wars experience just for those 2-3 days. And
this isn't, here's the thing. This is not for you. This, the Star Wars Hotel, here's what it is. This is why you go. You go to stay at this hotel. That is the sole purpose of the trip. You may do other things before and after, but you're only, you mentioned like a cruise. You go on a cruise to go on the cruise. You go to stay at this hotel and have the Star Wars experience.
Because I know this is just a me thing. Like, this hotel disappoints me because I won't get to experience the hotel, basically. Unless, because I personally don't want to drop, $2,000-$3,000 to stay in this hotel for 3 nights. And that's it. Like, you know, I'm just there. And I know, like, I'm definitely in the minority. And it sounds really cool. It sounds really great. But I would like to see the hotel. I would like to experience the hotel. But I don't want to have to do it for 2-3 days. But that's just me. And I know that that's what's going to happen, is you're going to have to do it for 2-3 days.
Yep. Well, it's you can't. I mean, it's the same thing, though. You can't get on a Disney Cruise Line ship to just walk around it and check it out. You know, like, you're invested. You're on it for 3 days minimum.
No, I get that, but at least with a cruise, like, you're, I don't know, like, with a cruise, you're going out to sea, so, like, the ability of me, like, visiting it is a lot harder than me being in Walt Disney World and knowing that there's a hotel that I'm not going to get to see because I don't want to spend 2-3 days doing it. Like, I can't dine there. I can't do any of the other things because they're not going to let me because I'm not staying at the hotel.
I totally get exactly what you're saying, but I mean, you got to think about this. It's not a hotel, it's a show building. Like, it's I might like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, but I can't just go walking in to check out, you know, Jack Sparrow to see what the AA looks like. Like, I got to go through the experience. It's basically an attraction that lasts that lasts 72 hours that you're paying thousands of dollars to experience.
$3,000 for each person. I mean, that would be like $6,000 for Brian and I, and I can't spend $6,000 potentially on, 3 days for something that's not, going to light my fire. You know what I'm saying? But I'm disappointed that I can't experience it as a Disney fan. Like, does that make sense? Like, I hope I'm making sense. I'm really excited for those of you who are going to get to experience this because I think it sounds really cool. But as a Disney fan, but not a Star Wars fanatic, like, I'm very disappointed that I won't get to experience this at all. So that disappoints me.
This is very, I get it. I mean, there's a lot of, this is a totally new thing, but I mean, I'll tell you what, I will save my money to try to do this, and I'm fine with not doing anything else other than this for 3 days. Because, man, that would be so cool. Like, I'm all in on it. Of course, it's going to be hard to get in. It's got to save a fortune. I probably will never get to do it, but I would. You know, if the opportunity came up, I totally would. But I get that it's very different. It's an experience that's exclusive. Very exclusive. So
It's exclusive, and it's, I don't really know what the other word is I'm looking for. I just, it's disappointing to me, in a way. Like, I know it shouldn't be. but it is for someone like me, it's very disappointing. So I'll move on because I know that everyone else is really excited about this.
There's a lot of, you know, people are asking, you know, Eric's asking, do you think they're testing this to try to do, you know, an all-inclusive experience outside of the Walt Disney World property? You know, put it like almost like what Disney Quest was in the day back in Chicago. I doubt they would do that.
Yeah, I doubt it, but
you never know.
But anyway. All right, moving on, since I'm a big downer about...
No, it's fine. I think a lot of people feel like you. Actually, everybody in the chat's agreeing with you. So, go ahead.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I know that it's going to have its appeal, and I get the appeal. I get what people are excited about. Again, as a Harry Potter fan, now, I wouldn't necessarily want to do the same thing with Harry Potter either. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to do a three-day experience where I spend $3,000 a person, you know, to get to live this world. But I understand why someone would want to do it. It's disappointing. So anyway, moving on, Disney's Hollywood Studios is going to be celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. What?
I'll be there because of Mallory's cheerleading competition. Yeah.
That makes me feel so old because I've been, you know, I remember when Disney's Hollywood Studios opened. So.
And I'm only 22. Anyway. I mean, that's weird that, like, I remember this and I'm 22 and it's going to be 30. So go ahead. I don't know how that works.
I know. All right. So they're going to be debuting the Wonderful World of Animation nighttime show in May of 2019. And it's going to be a projection show. So it's going to take place on the Chinese Theater. It's going to be probably a replacement for the Disney Movie Magic Show that takes place currently, which I think is fantastic and way underrated at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Everybody talks about, you know, the Star Wars fireworks or Fantasmic, but to me, the Disney Movie Magic is right up there. So I'm really excited to see that they're going to be creating a new show for this. The show is going to use the state-of-the-art projection technology to take guests on a magical journey through the more than 90 years at that point of Disney animation, all beginning with Mickey himself. And this, I think, is a perfect, perfect place for this attraction. Agreed. Or for the show. I think it's going to be a fantastic show. It highlights what Disney's Hollywood Studios is all about, the whole, you know, Disney storytelling thing. I am totally down for the show. I think it's super exciting, and I can't wait to see it in person.
And it ties in. It's got, you know, it's almost got Eisner-like synergy because you got the, you know, the Runaway Railway. It's actually projected on the building. Like, we're starting to celebrate Mickey more, and it's being projected on the building where the new attraction is going to be. That's pretty sweet.
Yep. I don't think it's going to be only Mickey, though. I think it's
I think he's going to be in it. Like, they shut away from Mickey forever.
They did. I don't know why, but you're right. They did. Except for walk around characters. Yep. So, of Mickey. So, you know, there's that. But, all right. So, moving on. Speaking of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, we have that attraction is going to debut, I'm sorry to say, in the fall of 2019. So, by the way, for those of you who are planning trips to Walt Disney World in the fall of 2019, at going to Disney's Hollywood Studios, good luck.
You might want to parachute in. That's the only way you're going to get in. Just drop the Hesmite, just fly over Kissimmee and test the winds and jump out with your parachute.
Honest to goodness, if you thought Pandora was bad, whoa, is Hollywood Studios going to be worse? I mean, I honestly thought, and they must have fallen behind majorly on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, because I thought for sure that was going to be opening in the summer of 2019 for the summer crowds, to kind of get people excited about Disney's Hollywood Studios to go there while they're trying to get ready for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But oh my goodness, because they're opening that at roughly around the same time as Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. That place is going to be a nut house because I have a feeling that Runaway Railway will still open before Galaxy's Edge.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just going to be so disastrous. So disastrous there next year.
People are going to start camping out here in the next couple of weeks.
In, like, the winter. I mean, you're going to it's just going to be a disaster.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be the energy. It's going to be fun. It's like Black Friday. Yeah. It's like, get ready.
It is. I think Black Friday is the best example that
it's like Black
had.
Friday in like 2002 or like 2005. Like, when was it? I don't think it's at peak Black Friday anymore because so many people shop online. Maybe like, you know, like the internet really started to become popular like 2005, 2006. So maybe like a Black Friday around then, like when people actually got trampled. Like, I didn't see any videos this year hardly at all of anybody. No. People were nice, I guess.
No, definitely not. But I think the Black Friday analogy is the perfect one for how Star Wars, you know, how Disney Hollywood Studios is going to be next year, because it's just going to be it's going to be bonkers. I mean, it's going to be fun. Like you said, that energy is going to be there and it's going to be fun. But I mean, it's going to be Pandora crazy busy for a long time with the two of those.
There's going to be people in robes everywhere. Jedi as far as you can see. People are going to be doing mind tricks on other guests. You will let me in front of you and like, you know, you know, it doesn't work. We're not really Jedi. You will let me, you will go get me a Mickey waffle while I'm waiting here. Anyway, Craig's actually asking, do we know anything about the opening date for Tron? Anything about that, Ricky?
So, my phone is downstairs. When I went to Walt Disney World, this last time, they had a billboard up by, the railroad where they're building Tron. And I think that I don't remember if it had a date on it or not, but there's a billboard there, and they're definitely aiming for it being open by 2021. So that's what we can look for that. That would be the time frame that I would look for Tron opening, somewhere in that 2021 range.
I did see today, too, they're closing the railroad for, looks like, most of December, but it'll be back open by Marathon Weekend, because I like riding the train. So just for like a month.
Interesting.
Yep. Okay. Work on it. Okay, next story.
All right, moving on. We have the name of the new Disney Vacation Club property that is going to be opening on the former River Country location. And the name is just as bland as
easy.
I'm sorry, I'm the worst person ever. The name is called Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge.
I like it.
You like it.
It's Reflections and it's on the water. I mean, that's a neat little, I don't have a problem with that. What's the acronym though? Wait, what is it? What's the actual name? What's the official name?
Reflections.
Is that it? Reflections colon something else?
It's the official name is Reflections dash a lakeside, a Disney Lakeside Lodge. That's the official name of the.
Okay, so RDLL is what it'll probably end up being. I'm trying to get the acronym because you know it's always got to be a good acronym.
Everybody's just gonna call it Reflections.
Okay,
I mean,
but people are gonna abbreviate it. So okay, go ahead. I'm just trying to get ahead.
It's gonna be abbreviated to Disney's Reflections, I'm sure, because everything is DR. Disney's. Yeah. You know, Disney Reflection. You know, whatever. So that's why I'm surprised they went that route, because they put Disney in front of everything.
True.
Instead of after. So I was surprised they went that naming route. But anyway. It's a deluxe resort that's nature-inspired that will feature more than 900 hotel rooms and the proposed Disney Vacation Club villas. So
it seems pretty big for that site, doesn't it? 900 rooms. I mean, I know that's not a huge hotel. I mean, you know, Pop Century's got like 2,500, but it doesn't seem like it's a very big site. It's a great location, though. I'm glad to see something going in there.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic, the location. So, I mean, it is what it is with that resort. It looks okay. I'm excited to visit. Let's put it that way. And I'm hoping it wows me when I get there.
Look into the camera. You will trust Disney. You will trust Disney.
Yes, of course.
Artist renderings don't mean anything. Artist renderings don't mean anything. Go ahead.
Speaking of things I need to trust Disney on and artist renderings don't mean anything, we have the name of the 15-story tower at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort.
It's
going to be named the Grand Destino Tower.
That's awesome. That sounds like a Mexican wrestler or something. The Grand Destino.
Oh my goodness.
I love it. He's going to put you in a headlock.
It's completed in July of 2019, and it will feature 545 new guest rooms, including 50 suites, and it will look like a Las Vegas hotel. So,
it does not. You guys are so bad. Like, I have no problem with these taller buildings. Like, I know, like, we're used to the short ones.
I don't have a problem with the tall building. That part I don't have a problem with. I do have a problem with the fact that it doesn't look like the Southwest, because I live in the Southwest, so.
No big tall buildings somewhere in New Mexico somewhere? There are.
Let's put it this way. The hotel that I worked at was the tallest building in the entire state of New Mexico. That is no joke.
I
worked in the tallest building in New Mexico.
They need like rooms, and the best way to do that's to build up, and it looks fine. I think it fits in fine. I mean, it doesn't look like the Southwest. You're right. It doesn't look like the ranchos and the casitas and the, you know, cabanas. It doesn't look like
inside.
That. But it
it's
looks,
the inside that I have the problem with. I don't have a problem with the outside. It's the inside.
I like flashy stuff. It's going to be sweet.
It's like Vegas.
Grandestino. Right. Putting you in a headlock since 2018.
Yes. All right, moving along. The Void at Disney Springs has officially opened the Ralph Breaks VR, which is a multi-sensory immersive experience. Teams of four guests are going to break into the internet with Wreck-It Ralph and Penelope Von Schweetz, disguised as characters from the film called Netzians. Of course, Mike and I have just discussed how we haven't seen this film yet, so we don't know who the Netzians are. And they're going to play the newest, coolest video game ever, and it introduces two brand new locations, the Dinner Dome and the Pancake Milkshake Diner, which I'm very... That's adorable. I love the Pancake Milkshake. You've seen the commercial for it with the one gets the bunny gets one thing and the kitty gets the other.
No, I've just seen the Carvana commercial where they order all the cars. They push all the buttons.
Oh. No. They even made a little game. I think they made an actual, game for your phone with the pancake.
Who has time to play games on their phone? I don't have time for that.
Anyway, it also includes a new antagonist, Bev, which stands for Built to Eradicate Viruses. So I really want to do this. I wish I could do it in December with my family, but I don't think that they would be down for this. This does not seem like something that my mom or dad would enjoy. My brother and Kurt might, but mom and dad maybe not so much. So, but it sounds like it's a lot of fun. So I would totally do this. But, the Star Wars version will still exist, by the way, for those who are curious. Okay. So you can still do the Star Wars.
And Eric is the man today. He's filling us in. Destino is the name of the film Disney made with Salvador Dali. There you go.
Look at
that. I just thought it was maybe in Spanish, it meant like destination or something, you know? Destino. I was wrong.
And yes, Craig, bunny gets pancakes, kitty gets milkshake. So, yes.
What does Rick Astley do?
All right. Or Rick Astley, yes. So we also have information about the Disney Skyliner. So that is going to begin transporting guests in the fall of 2019. Those gondolas are not air conditioned as well. So just keep that in mind. But they will have a cross ventilation system.
Complimentary deodorant when you get on.
Yes, at all times, as well as reflective windows, which they have on the buses and things like that are going to prevent the cabins from getting too hot during the day. So never fear, no air conditioning, but they will have air. So air will blow through them. Just know that you're going to be safe. Also, use deodorant. I'm just saying.
Yes. Okay. And we have about time for one more or two more stories. What we got?
Well, I've got one more story, and this was the one that really made me upset. I know I've already discussed my upsetness at Star Wars Hotel, but the one story that from the last week that really made me upset was, and I don't usually get upset with Disney. I know I threw kind of a stink about the hotel a little bit, but the things that Disney does don't really upset me greatly. Closing the Adventurers Club did, for sure. But there's not a whole lot that actually really upsets me that Disney does. I mean, I may throw a little fit, but, really heartbreaking. But this one I'm heartbroken about. And
I don't know what you're talking about. Get to the story. What are you heartbroken about? You're killing me.
Disney is using automated PhotoPass systems.
That does totally stink. I know you're like a photographer. So, your whole family's made their living being photographers.
Correct. And so this really bums me out because, our good friend Kim Taylor is a PhotoPass photographer.
She's an artist. I mean, I'll give you that. She's an artist.
I could tell you that some of my favorite photos I've had taken have been with the character meet and greets, and they've been like close-ups of my face or, close-ups of me and the characters, or there's something going on with the emotion in the room that's taking place that PhotoPass photographer has seen and taken a photo of. And you can't get that with, an automated PhotoPass system. First of all, the shot looks terrible. I've seen photos of what has taken place with the one with Tinkerbell. It looks absolutely dreadful.
It's too far.
Totally awful.
Yeah, it's too wide.
It's too far away. I know why they do it. It's to get, if you have a large party, you get everybody in it. But if you have a small party, like just Brian and I, it looks really stupid. So, because, there's a huge space and, three people characters in it. So it looks really dumb. But I'm not okay with this. And if you are like me and you're not okay with it either, please write to Disney and let them know that you're not okay with this, because the only way we're going to get change with this is if we let them know, potentially get changed with it, I guess I should say, because Disney doesn't change a lot of things, but it's to let them know that this is not okay and it's not something that we want. And I don't want this. And I have, you know, I wrote on Twitter and I shared some, you know, messages with them, but I plan on writing a letter as well, because it really does upset me that they are getting rid of the photo pass photographers at some of these meet and greet locations. It's only 9 of them, but the 9, you know, that's enough. You know,
it's always a slippery slope too, because
one of the biggest selling points we've had for Memory Maker is the fact that they do take such great photos of you with characters. I don't know that I can suggest Memory Maker as much without these great photos of you with characters. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, what you took away, if you take away 9 of those locations, you know, that it makes it not as much of a good value, because you're not getting the same quality of photos that you'd be getting before.
And here's my thing with that, because, you know, I want to echo exactly what you're saying, because you got Kim's a great example. She is somebody who, you know, I talk to her on my trips and I talk to her over social media occasionally. And the thing is I always tell her, my biggest message to her, she's passionate about her job. And I always tell her, Walt would be proud of what you do in his parks. Because
absolutely,
she is not just, she's not a photographer. She is an artist who's also taking pictures. Like, she is always, because she's a Disney fan. That's the thing is, and I think a lot of these PhotoPass photographers are Disney fans, and they kind of know, what was it like when I first met Mickey? Or what was it like when my daughter went up Tinkerbell, or, you know, whatever. Because the thing is, and Betsy says this in the chat very well, a lot of times, and for me, I'd say 75% of this is true, the best pictures are either the approach of the character, not when you're standing next to the character, it's the approach, the first glimpse at Mickey when you enter the room. And if, you know what, like, the thing is, like, the photographers that are good and passionate are looking for this. And also the kind of the best pictures are that last little wave as you're being escorted out of the meet and greet location, you know, where Mickey waves goodbye and you see, you know, you're the parents are dragging the kid away, but they're looking back for that last little look back at Mickey and giving him a wave. Those pictures are priceless. That's why you go to Walt Disney World. You're not going to get that with an automated system. You know, I know Disney wants to move into automation. That's how the world's going. But I mean, there's something to be said.
But not everything needs to be automated.
100%. 100%. I agree. Because you can't lose the artistry. And that's what that is.
Correct. No, absolutely. The artistry is so huge. You know, like I said, the candid moments are some of my favorite pictures that I have of meeting characters. You know, when I was just down there, I took a picture, and yes, it was Kim who did it, but I met Rapunzel. I met Rapunzel in my Rapunzel dress, and she got photos of me, you know, talking to Rapunzel. The fact that, you know, I was showing off my dress to Rapunzel, you know, doing twirl, you know, whatever, but she captured those moments, and they spoke and told the story of what was happening during the meet and greet so much better than any automated system could have ever did it, because she was there. She felt the emotion of what was going on. So again, I strongly urge everyone who's upset with this change to please write to Disney and let them know that this is not okay. And this is not something that they should be doing it. You know, even if it's to save a couple bucks or whatever the reason is behind it, it's not okay, because, you know, speak with your money, you know, speak by not buying Memory Maker or whatever, because it's not okay.
That's it. Memory Maker is a good value because you get lots of great pictures. Memories are something you'll hold on forever. But I mean, it's also $169 if you buy it early, $200 if you buy it on your vacation. For that price, we should be getting photographers. Sorry.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Yes. Yes. So anyway, I've spoken my piece about that.
Me too. Me too. And I think you know, folks listening to the show will be kind of on the same fence. But I mean, you know, Disney's going to make, you know, do things, and they're going to want feedback, whether they like it or not. We got to tell them we're passionate. I like a lot of Disney stuff, and I'm a Disney homer as far as it comes, so bad. But I mean, I just want to have, I have a level of expectation. I expect that to be met, because I pay premium prices for everything I do with Disney. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that, you know, I hope they change. I hope they go back, because we need our photographers. All right. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for today. Ricky, thanks so much for the great update. So much going on. Mike said his head was spinning in the chat because so much happening.
I know. So much is happening over the past couple weeks. It's been crazy, all the news that has been going on. So I'm glad we finally got to catch up and, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit.
All right. Well, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Put a Disney vacation under that tree. There's still time to do that. It's a great gift, because think about it. Your family will remember that trip for the rest of their lives. You're going to make memories forever. You know what? They might not remember the socks or the underwear you give them. That'll be in their stocking, I guess. I don't know. Or, you know, the little trinket, the little Pez dispenser.
Who's putting underwear in the stocking.
I don't know. Don't kids get that? I mean, like, I got, like, underoos or something. You know, like the Superman underoos or something? The Granimals?
No, Santa always brought me candy, so.
Santa was better to you than he was. I guess I wasn't.
Santa must not have liked you as much. I'm just saying.
Okay, back to the end. Put a Disney destination under the tree. And I've done that every year for guests. It's amazing because nowadays you can get that video of, you know, the moment where the trinket's wrapped under the tree, or maybe you put a message on the TV, and it's a great reveal. And then, you know, the whole family has something to rally behind and look forward to in the coming year. And you're going to have that trip. They're going to talk about, literally, they'll be telling their kids about the time that the big man put a Christmas trip, put a Disney trip under the tree. So it's great. We can do that still. Plenty of time to do that. Also, you know, booking into 2019, cruises, Adventures by Disneyland, whatever you want. Just drop by the Magic for Less today. Fill out that free no obligation quote. Very important. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I'll be working together planning a great Disney vacation. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please do continue to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Appreciate that so much from the bottom of my heart. It helps me pay the bills for the show and costs you nothing extra, and you get all your Prime benefits. So check it out over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And check out the YouTube channel at youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Ricky, anything else for the cause before we go for the weekend?
No, I think we're good. If you want to, I was going to say, if you want to buy a shirt for the holidays, we've got those too. So our TeePublic, shop has, some great to Be Our Guest podcast, shirts and, other creations that I've come up with just from the top of my head, including #FreakingMagical
yes.
shirts.
So. Yes, those are awesome. All right. So also one last thing. Don't forget, if you don't mind this weekend, if you have a few spare minutes, we'd love a review on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you download your shows. That helps spread the word. So thank you so much, everybody who does that. And we're going to get out here and let you get on with your weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. Questions on Wednesday. Fun Disney talk on Friday. Maybe Pam will come back home sometime. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to talk to her
She's
again.
She's winning.
I miss you, Pam.
I know. We miss you. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Let's get on with your weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome weekend. Have a great one. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.